Welcome to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast, where we help you in the LGBTQ plus community find a safe and affordable retirement place. Join Mark Goldstein as he interviews others who live in gay-friendly places around the globe. Learn about the climate, cost of living, healthcare, crime and safety, and more. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Today, we take you on a journey to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, with our guest, Frank Jump. Tell you a little bit about Frank. Frank is a retired New York City technology teacher, is also the author and photographer of the fading ads of New York City, published in 2011 by the History Press. His book documents ghost signage through the lens of an artist living with HIV/AIDS. It has become a metaphor of survival for Jump since, like himself, many of these ads have long outlived their expected lifespan. 24 of his images were exhibited at the New York Historical Society in New York City in 1998. In 1999, he launched the Fading Ad Campaign website and later celebrated blog of the same name. A lifelong LGBTQ and AIDS activist, Frank Jump married his partner, Vincenzo, in 2004 in Toronto, Canada, and later again in New York City in 2017. Jump and his husband have been living in Milton, Delaware since 2016. I'll tell you also a little quick facts about Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Rehoboth Beach is a popular coastal resort town located in Sussex County, Delaware, on the east coast of the United States. The town has a population of around 1,500 people, but during peak tourist season, that number can soar to over 25,000. And there's also a couple of nearby towns, Milton, Delaware, and Lewis. Rehoboth Beach has a reputation as a gay-friendly destination, has been a popular vacation spot for the LGBTQ community since the 1940s. The town has a vibrant LGBTQ plus community, and there are several LGBTQ organizations, events, and businesses in the area. Rehoboth Beach has been named one of the best beach towns for retirees by several publications, including U.S. News and World Report and Forbes. The town has a low cost of living compared to other coastal retirement destinations, and Delaware does not have a sales tax, making it an attractive option for retirees on a budget. Rehoboth Beach has a mild climate, with average temperatures ranging from the low 30s in the winter to the mid-80s in the summer. The town has a wide range of recreational activities available, including golfing, fishing, hiking, and biking. Rehoboth Beach is just located a few hours' drive from major cities like Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Washington, D.C., making it easy to visit friends and family or take advantage of its urban amenities. Frank, welcome to the podcast. I welcome you, and thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for asking me, Mark.
Of course, of course. So tell us your story, Frank. Where did you move from? Give us a little history, that little New York story, and why you decided to live in Rehoboth or nearby Milton.
Well, I was born in New York and spent most of my life in New York City, originally from Queens, later moved to Manhattan for a while, and then ended up in Brooklyn since 89. And we just sold our apartment in Brooklyn last year. So I've lived in Brooklyn probably the longest. And when I was 19, in 1979, my ex brought me to Rehoboth for the first time. And I was amazed that this little beach town had such a vibrant and just friendly gay climate. And the local, I guess the people that stay there year round, seem to be very, very gay friendly as well.
Got it. Yeah. I remember when I was actually in Rehoboth Beach maybe once or twice, and I just recall all of the businesses or a lot of the businesses were gay owned or gay friendly at least.
Yeah, especially on Baltimore Avenue and the parallel street that's the main drag. I think it's Rehoboth Avenue that leads to the beach. And Rehoboth has a lot of the same feel as other coastal cities in the Northeast, like Asbury Park and Belmar, New Jersey, and Ocean City, Maryland is just south of Rehoboth, but it's much smaller and it's a lot more laid back and subdued. I also found it to be a lot more, not just gay friendly, but just there are a lot more interracial couples there. It just seemed to be just the best place to go if you're just not a traditional American family.
And want diversity.
Yeah, there's a lot of diversity there. And there's a lot of foreigners that come to Rehoboth for the summer to work, especially young people. They have exchange programs. A lot of people from Eastern Europe come and from places in the African continent. So, and I've seen a lot of young people from India and Pakistan, some of the other Southeast Asian countries as well. So it invites a very diverse group as well. And I hadn't been there for a long time. After I broke up with my ex, I gave Rehoboth a bit of a rest. I didn't want to run into him. No, we had an amicable breakup, but I just wanted to give it a little bit of distance for myself. And then for some reason, years went by, and Vincenzo and I, we were taking a tour of the United States back in 2009, and we had an RV, and Vincenzo wanted to end up on the East Coast, somewhere close to New York, but not necessarily, you know, an hour away. But he wanted to end up on the beach. And I said, the only place I know that has an RV park right on the beach is just south of Rehoboth in Bethany Beach. It's called the Indian River RV Park. And it's also part of the Indian River National Park. And it's the most incredible area. I mean, you could park your RV in the lot. It's a reasonable price per night. And you could just walk out of your RV and walk to the beach, go back to the RV if you want to take a shower. There's fishing there from the pier. And there's a restaurant and a bar. And it's just a really nice resort experience if you are RVing. So I brought Vincenzo there and he fell in love with it. And then we did that again in 2015. We ended up on the beach at the end of our cross-country trip. And he finally said to me, you know, where are we really going to retire? Because we had a place up in the Poconos. We were about 56 years old and started anticipating how difficult it would be to go through the winters in the Poconos because it's rather cold when you're 2,000 feet high above sea level. And we loved the Poconos, but the winters were just pretty brutal. And we wanted to retire somewhere where it was easy on the taxes, where they didn't take money out of my pension for taxes, and where the real estate was relatively more affordable. And I said to him, we're right here. We're in Rehoboth. Let's look around. And within 2 weeks, we put money down on a brand new construction in the Milton, Delaware. I guess it's their municipality. But we're really geographically between Milton and Lewis. We're only 7 miles away from the beach in Lewis. And then we're about 9 miles from the beach in Rehoboth. So we have a choice of different beaches to go to. The one big surprise for me when I went back after all those years was all the retail. And that's a big draw for a lot of people who like to go shopping at outlets. And there's no sales tax. So it's really, you get a lot of nice bargains.
Bang
down
for your
there.
Buck.
Yeah. And the only issue is, you know, you need to drive a car. There's no way to get there easily by bus, by train. And that still has not been rectified. I'm not quite sure if it's on purpose, but from Wilmington to Rehoboth, it's an arduous bus ride with the public transportation in Delaware. which is not horrible, but it's not what you're used to when you're living in a place like, say, San Francisco or Atlanta or New York, Boston, Philadelphia. But those cities like Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and Baltimore are really close by. So it's popular with a lot of people that live in those cities. Rehoboth has always been a destination rather than going to the Jersey Shore. So people from Philly, even the Poconos, Baltimore, and I would even say, you know, Arlington, Virginia, and all those southern cities south of D.C., that's their favorite beach place to go to.
Right. And most of the U.S. is pretty car-centric. So in most places, other than the big cities, you need a car to get around, and Rehoboth is no exception. It's not like Europe or Italy or Spain, where everything is pretty self-contained and has pretty great infrastructure and transportation. Yeah. But yeah, I can see that. So is Rehoboth Beach, it's considered part of Delmarva?
Mm-hmm. So well, the whole state of Delaware is on the Delmarva Peninsula. And it's kind of surrounded by Maryland on the west border and southern border. And Virginia is all the way below the part that swings around and wraps around Delaware, below Maryland. And I always thought that if I ever had children and I had a girl, I would name her Delmarva. So she could have a girl group called Delmarva and the Delmarvalettes, but that's never really happened. So,
but I wonder if there's a drag queen called Delmarva.
There must be. On my way down, I would notice the directional signs that point you towards the Delaware beaches. And the first one you come up against up after Wilmington near Christiana is Dover Beaches. And I kind of created a drag alter ego called Miss Dover Beaches, but no one has stolen that from me yet. So there's always the possibility of a career in the future female impersonator with that name. Now that drag has become so political, and I can't believe what's going on in the rest of the country. But there's still drag shows in Rehoboth. They have a really nice nightclub called the Blue Moon, and it's just a lot of fun. So if you like nightlife and nightclubs and cabaret, there's a lot of that in Rehoboth at night. And there's a local theater as well, Clear Light, that does a subscription every summer. They do like a summer stock thing. And they really choose some really fun plays, musicals, and a lot of them are gay in content. Things like Hairspray and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Cool. Cool. So, Frank, tell us about the climate. I guess it's a little cooler than New York, right? Or is it, warmer than New York?
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, it's surrounded by water, so it has somewhat of a marine climate, not dissimilar to places like San Francisco. Altitude-wise, it's just south of D.C. But when the snowstorms come in, if it's a nor'easter, it tends to skip the Delmarva Peninsula and kind of wallop the I-95 corridor. And whenever it does snow in Delaware, except for a few years, I think of an exception, it usually melts overnight. So there's never really a lot of snowfall in Rehoboth Beach area. And it's on the average in the winter, and this was a particularly warmer winter, the average temperature this winter was 42, and it really never dropped down below freezing, except for 2 weeks, I think. And I think that's pretty darn good when it comes to what the weather could be like in the winter in the Northeast. I guess we are considered mid-Atlantic.
Right, right, yep.
It's mild, so, definitely milder, certainly better than the Poconos. I know in the Poconos, it snows in November and there's still snow on the ground until May in some places. And you never really see any snow around in the Rehoboth Beach area.
I love it. I love it. Summers, do you have a rainy season? Does it rain a lot in the summer?
It's been, I think just the whole climate for the Northeast this last few years has been pretty wet. I mean, we are not having the same drought conditions that other parts of the country were having. There are parts of the world that are having droughts that never really had droughts before either.
Or
so it's lush in the summer. This past summer was probably the least amount of rainfall for several years. So it wasn't necessarily a good thing for local farmers. There's still a lot of farms in the Rehoboth area, but many of them are turning into developments, housing developments. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly one family homes, and they range somewhere between $399 to $799. When we bought our house in 2016, we didn't want to be in a community because we were in one in the Poconos, and we didn't want to have to deal with that whole board, you know, community board situation. We wanted to, you know, if we wanted to paint the house or vinyl side it in pink.
HOA,
we could have, you know, we didn't. But so I still think it's relatively affordable still. I think the boom may have even tapered off a little. So all of those population numbers that you've been reading off, I think have definitely shifted up. And so far it seems like Delaware has been dealing with the infrastructure pretty well. The roads are always in good shape. The highway leading in and out of, all the way up the coastal highway, is always well maintained. If there is any snow in the winter, the plows are out right away. We've never had to plow our driveway. So
do you get hurricanes in the summer?
Yeah, we actually had a few tornadoes come through 2 years ago. Didn't hit our area, but kind of a little bit north of us near Dover, it kind of took out, of course, a trailer park and a couple of warehouses that were built on lower ground. Even though Delaware is extremely flat, most of it, I would say on average, is only 5 to 10 feet above sea level to begin with. Where our house was built is, oddly enough, 19 feet above sea level. So we didn't even qualify for federal flood insurance because we're not considered in the flood zone. If you buy a house on the coast, then, you know, you're playing Russian roulette. No matter where you live on the East Coast, somewhere on the East Coast is going to get hit by
a
hurricane one way or another. I mean, we certainly learned that lesson in New York with Sandy, and you know, poor Florida, you know, just got hit with a horrible one on the Gulf Coast. I have friends that lost everything, and my aunt as well. So I think if you're on the coast, you know, if you want to buy a house on the beach, you know, you that comes with the
price.
Whole, you know, stress of knowing that it could happen, but chances are less, I think, in Delaware than they are in other places like the Outer Banks of the Carolinas or South Carolina, Georgia. Certainly, New Jersey got hit badly with Sandy. Delaware didn't do badly at all with Sandy. There was some flooding, but there really wasn't the same kind of devastation. We've had worse storms in the winter, taking out some parts of the beach, but they seem to come out and fill it up as quickly as it, you know, gets sucked out. So there's a lot of maintenance going on with Delaware beaches. And I think because Delaware is so small and there is such a large influx of banks and credit cards that do their business out of Wilmington for whatever they're giving in exchange.
Yeah, it's financial.
Yeah. There's incentives built in there. I bank with Chase. There aren't any Chase banks in Southern Delaware. There's only a few up north. But there's a lot of, you know, a lot of services in Southern Delaware. They call it Lower Slower Delaware. So you see a lot of bumper stickers, LSD, and I'm sure
slower. At least
half of them have never even experienced any of those psychedelic things.
Right, right.
But it is Lower Slower Delaware. And that comes into kind of like my con list, you know, the pros and cons. Certainly are not balanced out. There are more pros, I think, than cons. But it's hard to find, say you want a contractor or you want to find someone to clean your home. It's not as easy as it is in other places. And I think part of that is because most of the population that lives there and who can afford to live there, because there's not a lot of affordable housing or apartments. It's mostly one-family homes. Most of the people that live there are the leisure class or the retired class. So for people to work in that area, say at the outlets and the restaurants, they have to drive in. And not everyone could afford a car. And because the buses aren't as good as they can be, it's difficult to find workers there. And after COVID, it's become impossible for places like Ace Hardware, even places like Lowe's and Home Depot are having problems finding people to work, which is a foot in the door for retirees who want to supplement their pension. If they're on Social Security, you could work up to, I think, $20,000 a year. And I don't think you're going to make much more than that on a part-time basis at a Lowe's or a Home Depot. But there are a lot of elderly people, mature people, maybe I should say, that are working in these types of jobs than you would see elsewhere. So they're hiring people 55 and over. Why? Because we have skills.
Right.
We grew up before the iPhone and the Android took over our lives and sucked the life out of us. You know, we know how to read maps and we know how to do inventory and a lot of us are technology friendly as well. I mean, I'm lucky. I'm 63 years old and I am tech savvy. But you see, a lot of the people that work in retail are elderly because they know how to work a cash register and they could figure out things a little bit easier. So that's good if you're looking to supplement your income. They hire people 55 and over. You don't have to be young and beautiful.
You just reminded me of something pretty funny. So I remember you talked about maps, that we know maps. I remember my husband before, it was a long time ago, before we had like smartphones and stuff.
Yeah.
And we had the big map in the car and we were going on a trip. My husband said, okay, how do we get to this place? And I'm looking on the map and I'm like, gee, I don't know. I can't find it. He looks at me in the map. He goes, you idiot. You have it turned upside down. So I was like, oh my God. Oh, but yeah, that reminded me of that. So,
well,
but anyway.
Still, we still go to AAA for our maps.
I love
maps, but everyone's kind of hooked into their GPS on their phone.
Right.
Comes in handy.
It does.
I must say, I don't use one anymore in Delaware. I know my way around. People will find that once you're there, you find that inland, mid-peninsula, almost on the border of Delaware and Maryland, it's a lot cheaper to go food shopping or buy appliances. So once you're there, you find, you do some exploration, you'll find it's a lot cheaper inland. So you get to know your way around. And it's for a tiny state, you know, there's a lot to explore.
Yep. So does Rehoboth Beach have per se LGBTQ or gay community?
Yeah.
Or is there like a gayborhood or where people kind of live, or is it just like all inclusive?
Well, there's Baltimore Avenue, which is kind of like the gay Strip. And many of those businesses are gay owned. Most of the restaurants cater to a gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer clientele. But I wouldn't say that it's a neighborhood per se, because it's just a strip, you know, a small, very short avenue. But anywhere in Rehoboth Beach, you're going to find more gay people per capita than you would anywhere else in Sussex County. The rest of Sussex is pretty blue collar, agricultural, a lot of immigrants that work in farms and chick poultry processing plants, fish processing.
How about in nearby Milton or
Milton
Lewis?
As well. Milton has a theater that is very gay friendly, and there's a lot of gay content in their programming. Rehoboth has a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer organization called Camp Rehoboth. And they also they cater to the elderly communities. They give a lot of workshops. They're very HIV AIDS savvy. There's counseling for people. There are plays in the gay lesbian community, the community center there at Camp Rehoboth. They have art, art exhibits. They have a gay and lesbian library. There are poetry readings. There are workshops. There's intergenerational workshops where younger people meet older gays and talk about what it was like for them growing up. And so there is a lot of programming geared towards LGBTQ plus community.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So within that community, do they have a bunch of gay bars too?
Oh yeah. Now on Baltimore Avenue, almost all of the bars are gay. And there are, I think there are at least five, you know, gay spots, could be more. And then there are places nearby, like just a few blocks away. I know there's a leather bar. There's a nightclub. On the other side of Rehoboth Avenue, going away from Baltimore Avenue, there are some more gay bars and gay-friendly bars. It's more like that show Cheers, where you go to any bar and you'll find there's going to be gay people there, and you know, you find your group, and it doesn't have to be exclusively gay. I mean, I prefer a mixed group anyway. I like diversity. Where else are you going to see a drag queen? You know,
right?
Not in the straight bars. So
exactly.
And the drag performers are extremely talented, and they import some from New York. I know Joey Arias comes down to sing, and I'm sure Lipsinka will be down in Rehoboth one of these days. I may have to coordinate that one, but I have a little bit of a connection with Lipsinka, because we were both in the same production company back in the late 80s called Tweed. The director of Tweed, Kevin Maloney, I'm sure I would have to just nudge him a little and say, let's do something in Rehoboth and it'll happen. But
cool.
Yeah, it's a very eclectic gay lesbian community. It's not just young people, retirees, man or woman. It's very much integrated, I would say. And
do you find it easy to make friends there in the community?
When I was younger, I was much more out at night. So we tend to stay home a lot. We've met some people that live up the road. If you go to Lewis, you're going to meet people. And again, it's per capita. You'll find more women living in these communities than you would, say, in other places. But it reminds me a lot of Provincetown in a way. Mm-hmm. Where there are gay bars, but that they're not exclusively men's bars. You know, they're just
right.
LGBTQ bars now. So, And I think people are very friendly. It's very easy to go up to people and start talking. I know people that have moved to the area, so I already have some friends that I've known for years that are now in Rehoboth, and I think that's probably what most people will encounter at first. Is you'll have a a good smattering of people that you've known all the years that have decided to move there as well. So my former boss, my principal is there with her partner. There's another woman I know, Lizzie, who I've known from the ACT UP years that moved down there. And everyone comes with their own calling. I mean, some people decide to do a second career in real estate there, which is very rewarding for people now because it's just
housing prices.
All you have to do is list your home and it's sold in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I could definitely see that.
And the real estate taxes down here are also very reasonable. I mean, through my own experience, a property, say, that is valued anywhere between $500,000 and $600,000 on a 2-acre plot, you would pay less than $1,500 a year.
That's great.
If you're living in places like Great Neck New Jersey, anywhere on Long Island, even upstate New York, like Middletown and Orange County, it's just ridiculous. You've got to work a second job just to pay your real estate taxes.
Yeah, I mean, that's really cheap. That's pretty reasonable compared to other places. Even here in Phoenix, we're in a condo, a 1,700 square foot condo, and we pay over, I think, $2,600, $2,700 a year. Mm-hmm. So tell us about, while we're speaking about real estate and real estate prices, tell us about the economy. How does the expenses fit in? Housing costs, either purchasing or rentals, what do they go for? Electric bills, internet bills, water bills, gas bills, and stuff like that.
Well, let's start with the internet, TV, telephone. It's mostly Comcast. And the company Xfinity is the one that services down there. So you really don't have a choice unless you get a dish. And it took me forever to get internet service down there because the house was built in the summer of 2015. It was finally done by January 2016. We closed on the house. I called up Comcast and they look at Google Maps to see where your house is. Well, there was no house there.
It doesn't exist.
It was a horse farm. Well, we don't see a house there. Well, there's a house there. So it took me
now.
About 3 weeks just to convince them that I wasn't pulling their leg. Then they had to lay the cable down. And it took forever for that to happen. But I must say that Xfinity customer service has been the best customer service I've ever had from any internet provider, you know, living in New York or up at the Poconos. You never wait on the phone, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
And if you go to their local Comcast store, the Xfinity store, they're very, very helpful. So even though it took a long time to get it, but on the other hand, it's not cheap. It's very expensive, especially if you want more than just a basic cable package. But if you get their package that bundles the wireless, so you get your phone through them and your internet and your TV, and if you are savvy enough to get the Roku thing going on, and if you're over 62, you can get a discount, and it could be less than, I would say, we paid at the most at one point $170 a month, but we got it down to $65.
That's really good.
So that is, I think, really good.
Oh, yeah.
In many places, the Poconos was horrible. It was over $200 a month, and I won't even tell you what Brooklyn was like. So it is cheaper, and the wireless service isn't bad. It's much better than T-Mobile. And, you know, of course, you're going to pay double if you go with AT&T. You're going to get better coverage, though. But, you know, when I'm in the barn, which is a metal barn, I tend not to get such a great signal. But if I go out outside the barn, it increases.
It increases. Got it.
But mostly everyone who has any property has a barn. And you're going to want a barn because most of the time you're moving from somewhere else and you just couldn't part with, you know, certain pieces of furniture and stuff. But if you don't live in a community, you could have a yard sale whenever you want.
This is true. So what are your electric bills like?
Well, we have solar panels.
Oh, that makes it enticing.
So that definitely, for $30 a month is the lease for the solar panels. And that keeps our electricity bill below 70, an average of 70 a month.
Okay.
Most of the people will have electric heating. So if you have electric, you want solar panels.
Yeah.
They're also, you could have a 1,000-gallon tank sunk below the ground. And you could buy propane from several different vendors. So you have a lot big choice for propane. And I like to cook with gas. I don't like cooking with electricity. So I was very happy that I had the option. And our heat is also gas. So the fan runs on electric, but the actual burner is propane. So that really brings down the price of your electric bill as well. We have forced heat. So
give me an example of a month electric bill. It may be in the summer.
In the summer, it's about 90 a month.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. And then the gas doesn't need to be filled up more than once every 3 months. It's about $1,000 for a full tank of propane. And then if you pay early, we use Chagrin or Chagrin. I don't even know how they say it.
Mm-hmm.
But they will give you like a $40, $50 off if you pay right away. So that's good.
Okay.
I know that you get discounts if you're a senior and you get money off of your real estate bill as well. But you have to be a resident for 10 years for that to work. So if you're going to be retiring at 55, get your driver's license there right away, especially if you have a residence somewhere else, because a lot of people, they want to feel what it's like first. So they'll buy the house as a second house in Rehoboth, but still keep their home in Jersey or mm-hmm. Philly or New York. Get your driver's license there, because it's from the moment you get your driver's license that you're being counted as a resident. And but after 70, I think that your real estate tax is reduced dramatically. And it's already small to begin with. And then utilities also give you, and I get a discount because I'm a teacher from Xfinity. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good deal too.
Yeah.
So I know we touched on arts and culture a little bit, but mm-hmm. can we go over, is there like in Rehoboth Beach, is there a local theater?
Yeah, the Clear Light Theater, they perform a series of plays, usually musicals, every summer, but it doesn't just end in the summer. There are still productions that go on throughout the year. So if you're going to be living there full time during the winter, Milton has a theater that has regularly scheduled events, and also Camp Rehoboth has a theater within their facility. So, and they do performances all year round as well. And then there are major fundraisers throughout the year for Camp Rehoboth, and they usually have them in very large venues. So they usually host a ball, and there's a lot of options for New Year's with the different clubs in Rehoboth. And they're open all year round. So nightlife and culture doesn't end after the summer. it continues throughout the year. So I'm rather happy with the programming that they offer.
And if you really miss Broadway, it's not that far.
It's 4 hours. Either way you cut it, you're going to be in the car for 4 hours.
Yep.
You get up at 8. You're in Manhattan by noon. You have lunch. You'll want to do an overnight probably.
Yeah.
You know, park the car in the hotel garage. You know, the hotels offer so many different packages now that are so affordable. You know, pamper yourself. Do a weekend of Broadway and
yeah.
come back.
And,
you know,
it's
totally doable. And I think Camp Rehoboth also schedules bus trips to New York. And they do that every summer. They do like a Broadway thing. They'll go see a show. So if you don't want to drive yourself, go with an entourage and meet some people on the bus. And
definitely a possibility.
Yeah, that's a possibility as well.
Tell us how about restaurants? Does Rehoboth Beach area have restaurants? And what type of restaurants? Is it just local cuisine?
There's a wide range. They have very cutting edge nouvelle cuisine, like 4-star type restaurants that offer something a little different than what you might expect. And they're very conscious about buying locally. It's more like an agro-tourism type
of... table.
Yeah. So they have a lot of that in Rehoboth. There are Indian restaurants, Italian restaurants, steakhouses, and then there's all the seafood restaurants down there. There's so many crab houses, and the best Mexican food is in Lewis, and they just opened up another site on... not the strip in Rehoboth, but on the coastal highway in the retail shopping area. They have a place, it's called Agave, really good Mexican food. And there's fancy restaurants. I mean, there's, you know, if you want to go fancy, there's fancy. If you want falafel, there's falafel. There's a Turkish place right off the boardwalk that has great Mediterranean food. So you're not really cornered into only having a certain type of cuisine.
Local.
There's local food. There are diners, and the more you explore, the more you'll find. If you want to drive a little just south of Rehoboth is Ocean City, and they have you know, the casinos there and the seafood restaurants as well. Just south of Rehoboth is Dewey Beach. It's the next community down. And there's a plethora of restaurants in Dewey Beach. And then Bethany Beach has more stuff inland. And Bethany is a little bit closer to Ocean City as well. If you go north, you go into Lewis. Lewis has really nice restaurants. Milton has restaurants. So there are many choices within a 7 to 15 mile range.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So you won't run, you know, you don't get bored with restaurants, that's for sure.
No, not at all. And there's always new restaurants. One of my favorite restaurants didn't fare so well during COVID. They closed and voila, a new restaurant
a new
opened
one.
Up.
And yeah, I'm sure.
They're just as eclectic. They knew who their target audience was from the previous owner, and they went with a similar menu, and they're doing really well. One thing that Milton has that Rehoboth doesn't have is the Dogfish Head Brewery, and they give tours of their brewery. They have a small batch artisan beer selection that is out of this world. It's the best beer I've ever had outside of the United States. They also have a restaurant in Rehoboth Beach, and they have great food. It's just a lot of fun.
It's called Dogfish.
Yeah, Dogfish. It's not fine dining, but it's fun dining.
I like that.
Things from sliders to crab cakes, and it's fun.
Fun appetizers.
Food. Appetizers, yeah.
Yep.
So okay. there's a lot to offer there, and if you ever want to take a drive, say to D.C., to go to the Smithsonian. It's just an hour and a half away.
It's pretty
really
close.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the whole eastern shore of Maryland to discover.
Yeah.
And parts of Virginia on the other side that are a lot of fun. And you could do a day trip easily to Washington, to D.C. and back.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You don't need to do an overnight. Or if you want, do what you do when you go to New York for your Broadway trip. You can do an overnight in D.C.
Yeah.
And do hit a couple of museums. And I know that the African American Museum is just outstanding, beautiful, heartbreaking. There's many, many restaurants in D.C. to explore. So I think there's just a lot that Rehoboth has to offer in terms of proximity to different places. If you drive south, it gets less and less populated once you get into Virginia, the little appendix at the end of Delmarva. Mm-hmm. And there are beautiful beaches there's the Chincoteague Beach National Park, where they have mustangs running wild. And Assateague is down there. Harriet Tubman was born within 50 miles of Rehoboth.
Okay.
So there's the whole Underground Railroad to explore. And of course, there's peanuts in the summer and salted hams you could buy on the roadside. And because there's so many farms in the area, there are many, many farm stands that you get the best corn, the best
produce. Love
produce.
That. In the summer.
Tomatoes are just delicious. And the summer is really great fun for eating vegetables that are in season.
How far is Rehoboth from what's the nearest airport?
Well, there's Baltimore and D.C., and there's Philadelphia, an hour and 20 minutes away.
Okay.
I don't know much about the Delaware airports. There are small private airports. I am not a private plane person. That's not within my budget. But if that is within your budget, there's an airport up in, I think it's Newark or Newcastle, Delaware. And there's an airport right nearby. The county seat is Georgetown. And there's an airport in Georgetown.
Okay. Which one would you use?
I'm a New Yorker, and most of the places I go to fly only out of JFK or Newark.
So you go up to New York.
For a nonstop. Mm. And there's an airline we use to come to Italy, because we come to Italy often. We spend a lot of time in Italy. And there's a company called Neos that flies from Milan to JFK for under $300.
Wow.
And you don't need go through cheapo air or any of those types
right,
of places.
Right.
It's just pretty flat rate. But we've been flying a lot into Milan, even though we're in Torino for most of the time when we spend our time in Italy. To fly into Torino is a little bit more difficult because you have to do layovers in places like Munich, which could be fun, but you're 7 hours in an airport,
right.
It's just not so much fun.
Yep.
So I tend to fly out of JFK. I've not flown out of Philly yet. When I do, I will do an update with you.
Okay.
But I would think that the DC airports would probably be the best bet.
Closest.
Because mm-hmm. you can get a bus from Georgetown, which is just 10 miles west of Milton. It's the county seat of Sussex County. And even Georgetown has some fun little restaurants, colonial types of places. I know the word colonial is not as popular as it used to be, but for good reasons. But
yeah.
So
yeah, that's
yeah. I think
you have a choice.
I think you have a choice of airports if you want to fly international or national. I say Baltimore might be even better for flying domestically.
Okay. Tell us about, is there any crime that you know of in Rehoboth, Milton,
Lewis? I've not yet encountered much of any crime.
So it's pretty safe.
We've left our, our garage door open for days upon days without realizing it. Nothing happened. You know, we'd gone away and come back and the garage door was open. The neighbors are also very helpful. You know, I've just not encountered any instances at all where there's any crime. I'm sure it exists.
Yeah, I'm sure if you leave your wallet or cell phone on the beach while you take a swim and you leave it unguarded.
For some reason, I doubt anyone would ever do that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, it's just not anything that I've ever heard happen or that's never happened to me. Of course, you know, going to Reese Park and Coney Island my whole life.
Right, that's what I think about.
I'm much more careful than maybe your average Delaware beach goer, but
that's what I think about.
Yeah, I just can't imagine. I mean, I'm sure there are stats for crimes for the area. I've just not had
so you
that
feel
experience.
Totally safe.
I feel that's very good. Safe. Yeah.
That's great.
We did have a Hillary sticker on our car and a Biden sticker. We had more problems with Trump supporters than we've had with, you know, than for being gay.
Right, right. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. Tell us about healthcare.
Yeah.
Are there doctors to accommodate everybody, hospitals? Would you feel comfortable going to a hospital? You know, if you were to have surgery, would you go somewhere else?
I've been to hospitals there. They're very thorough, very state of the art. Unfortunately, my healthcare does not cover in that area because I was a New York-based teacher. So I have to find people that take my health care. So between now and when I get Medicare in 2 years, I have to be really careful because if I get, for instance, a biopsy done, mm-hmm. you know, a facility may charge $5,000 for the surgery. The provider may only charge $500, and that will be mostly covered, but it's the facility that you wind up getting large copays. Unless you have a healthcare plan where your out-of-network coverage is good. I still do a lot of my healthcare through my Brooklyn contacts. Finding an appointment in Delaware right now is very difficult because of the large influx of people. There aren't as many doctors that have moved down there. Mm-hmm. So you'll have a 3 to 8 week wait for any type of appointment from dental to dermatology to cardiology. So I would definitely keep that as a consideration. Then again, if you have Medicare, you'll have better coverage, but you're still going to encounter a long wait for your first visit with a primary care physician. My suggestion for people is if you know that something's going on, plan ahead so that you know, moving from someplace else and you need a cardiologist, do that groundwork before you move in and get the appointment set up before you move in. So by the time you've settled in, you'll have your first visit within a relatively close proximity to when you'll be able to go.
When you worked in New York as a teacher, were you in the private sector or the public? Were you
public
in...
school? Yeah, so, public school teacher. I had great coverage, very little copays.
And that didn't carry on after retirement?
Yeah, from 62 to 63, I have that same coverage. But to find people that are in-network doctors, the further you get away from New York City, the smaller the list gets. Now, if you go to Florida, you're going to find some more, but even people that have moved to Florida are having problems finding doctors within their network because their insurance was New York City based. Now, if you're coming from different parts of the country, you need to investigate where your coverage, you know, will you be still in network? Can you find in network doctors in Delaware? And are your out-of-network copays going to be exorbitant.
Yeah, that's important. But my husband was also a New York State public school teacher. And we've managed, like, we moved from New York to Florida. So in Florida, we had coverage. And now we're in Phoenix, and we also have coverage. And we don't seem to have, it's in a different network. So it wasn't the New York metro area network, but we're in another network of that insurance, but still pretty much widely covered. Mm-hmm. So it's something that definitely retirees should look into to right. see what their coverages are. Well,
because I retired at 62, I was not eligible for Medicare.
Right.
So I had to have my gap filled, and I was able to keep my coverage. I'm paying a lot more money for it than I would if I was paying for Medicare. So as soon as I turn 65, you know, I get a raise because I won't be paying as much for healthcare.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, Medicare has its problems, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you're still going to have issues with some medications. Not all medications are covered by Medicare. You have to get a supplemental coverage, and you have to be careful that you get the right supplemental coverage. And don't wait till you're 65. Start that when you're 64.
Yep.
So it retirement requires a lot of planning ahead.
Research. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Research. And it starts 10 years before retirement.
Yeah. Yeah. I started looking into that too. And then I started getting all of the insurance mails and emails and stuff like that, because 65, you have to sign up for Medicare.
Yeah.
So, and that this is my 65th. So I just did. And yeah.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're fine. Our coverage luckily covers Medicare too. So we have to pay Medicare, but our insurance pays us back those mm-hmm. premiums. So we're pretty fortunate in that respect. So tell us, what do you wish that was in Rehoboth that you might have had elsewhere, like New York, that you don't have in Rehoboth? Like a good pizza or a bagel with the schmear?
Well, I mean, I'm not a big pizza eater anymore. I'm cutting my carb intake down. We did find a really good brick oven pizza place. It couldn't even be wood oven pizza in Rehoboth. But their local pizza is, what's that chain? It's a chain. And for some reason, I'm blanking out on the name of the chain. But I'm not crazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's things that you can get in Philadelphia that you really can't get anywhere else. Like Philly cheesesteaks are better in Philly than anywhere else.
Of course.
But Rehoboth has the best seafood restaurants that I've ever eaten in.
Seafood.
So it kind of makes up for a lot of things that I couldn't necessarily get in New York. I mean, we still do our pilgrimage to Bensonhurst for all of our Italian things.
Mm-hmm.
We do a pilgrimage, you know, for the locks and the Knishes and
yeah, Russ's
Daughters. Yeah, I mean, you can't find a Katz's Deli pastrami sandwich. But there is a deli in Rehoboth that's relatively good. I think it's Rosenfeld's. And it's owned by someone who's originally from New York. Mm. I think Palm Springs also has like a local deli that's...
Sherman's.
Sherman's, yeah, that's really good.
Sherman's, delicious. Yeah.
You know, I'm also, you know, I jones for Chinese food a lot, and it just doesn't seem to be the same.
The same.
As
no,
Chinatown.
Nothing is. No, or Wohop or those type of restaurants.
I looked out in Torino. I found a really good Asian fusion restaurant. I'm here now in Torino for extended stay because I'm learning Italian and
Torino's in Italy.
In Italy.
Yeah.
And just around the block from my language school, there's an Asian fusion restaurant that has the best wonton soup I have ever eaten, if you could believe that. Most delicious dumplings and just so good. But I don't find that in Rehoboth.
It's, right. Yeah, it's something, I mean, we had that too in Brooklyn as well.
Yeah.
Besides,
there's a good Thai place. I mean, there's Thai food that's really good. I just, there is a Chinese restaurant in Rehoboth Beach. I think it's something like Buddha something that's awfully good.
Right.
Okay. I just, but it's not the same as Chinatown.
Right. Nothing is. Nothing is.
I think maybe so, some of the problem might be just it's hard to find products down there. You have to, bring the products
search.
In.
Yeah. What would you say are the cons? Are there any cons that you can think of?
Well, the ones that I thought were important I brought up, it's just hard to find people to do things, services. It's hard to find a painter, for instance, or somebody that would, you can get roofing done, you can get stuff like that done, but it's just difficult. And the wait time is a long time before people can come. Rarely do you see people within the week that you called. It's always a 2-3 week wait.
Right.
I mean, this is just an example. I'm fortunate because I married my contractor.
Ah.
So if I ever do need anything done, Vincenzo does everything.
He does everything.
And he does his own tomato sauce. So
that's good too.
I don't go without there. But, it took forever to find someone to do our lawn when we go away. There are local lawn places, but they're expensive. It's not cheap. That's why that's the one pro about going into a community is that most of that the time you can get people to do your lawns there because they're doing it for the general areas,
right.
The shared public areas. And the waiting time for finding a medical provider is
doctor.
Another
yeah,
con.
That's important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So in wrapping up, Frank, what would you say to our listeners if they're thinking about relocating or retiring to Rehoboth area?
You will love Rehoboth Beach and its neighboring towns. I can't think of any other place that's close to the beach on the East Coast that's as gay friendly, lesbian friendly, offers as many programming and gay content area for entertainment, gay and lesbian owned businesses, community center that's vibrant and caters to, specific demographics within the gay and lesbian community. I think you will absolutely adore Rehoboth Beach and what it has to offer.
I definitely remember visiting there that it was quite enjoyable. And that's why for the longest time, I was seeking out somebody to interview that lives there. So thank you, Frank. Appreciate your time and effort and help with this. It was
You're
my
so
pleasure.
Welcome.
It was a pleasure.
I enjoyed this.
It was a pleasure talking to you. And thank you again. And we'll talk soon.
Great.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Where Do Gays Retire podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and consider making a donation by clicking the coffee cup on any page at www.wheredogaysretire.com. Each cup of coffee that you buy costs $5 and goes towards helping us continue the podcast. Thank you for your continued support.